Sunday with Miriam on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Travel Department. Explore the wonder of the world's most iconic sites with Travel Department, the world discovered together.
Tweet at Miriam O'Call.
Well, Donny O'Sullivan is from Carrick-Sivine in County Kerry. He's well known by now, as Brendan was saying, as the Irish guy who covered the Capitol riots in Washington Live on January the 6th, 2021. And in his job as senior correspondent for CNN, he regularly covers stories like the MAGA folk who gather at Trump rallies, the people in Dallas waiting for the second coming of JFK Jr., and people in California on the hunt for UFOs. Well, Donny has a new podcast with CNN about conspiracy theories, but this time he's not just finding out what people believe in, but why. And Donny's here in studio now. Morning, Donny.
Good morning, Miriam. How are you?
Well, listen, Brendan Gleeson loves you. You met him there in the outbreak. You hadn't met him before, had
no,
you?
No. Too kind.
Yeah, no, it was fab. Listen, before we get into the substance of the podcast, congrats on your Emmy win.
Oh,
what
thank
was it
you
for?
Very much. For a show we did a lot of last year on the lead up to the presidential election, looking at sort of all the sort of undercurrents, I guess, the podcasts, the online influencers, people who were really influencing the election in ways that people might not normally traditionally think they were. So, yeah, it was part of that. It was a big team on the whole story with Anderson Cooper. So it was great to be part of it.
Oh, but I love seeing it on your Instagram. You put up a caption on the celebration photo, won an Emmy, brackets, still no South Kerry championships. It all comes back to Kerry, doesn't it, Donny?
It does. Although somebody did inform me that I think I might have won a South Kerry B championship under 12 on the bench, though. So I don't know if that counts, but I'll take it.
I think we'd definitely take it. And of course, the Emmy, as you said, was for your work on disinformation. Only this week I saw, because you put it up, someone set up an account for pretending to be your mother. It was an AI-generated woman called Cassandra. Definitely not your lovely mam, Noreen.
Yeah.
What can you do about that?
Nothing, really. And I mean, I think Brendan Gleeson was just talking about it there earlier in terms of the online scams and everything else. But yeah, it was actually a friend of mine, a couple of friends messaged me to say, who's this person? And yeah, there's an account online that says that they're my proud mom. And actually took a picture. There's a picture I took on my own years ago. I was somewhere traveling in the US, but it was the morning of the PETA House darkness to light.
Yeah.
And I had taken it. And so they took that photo from years ago and put in, it looks like an AI person standing next to me who's supposed to be my mom. So if anybody gets a Cassandra O'Sullivan,
your mom.
I have no idea what the intention of the account is, but it's up there on a couple of social media platforms now. And as I say, there's not really a button to report on Instagram or Twitter or X or whatever that, you know, here's an account pretending to be my mom. So, it's one of those things.
Yeah. So listen, the new podcast series, love it, I've been listening to it. It's called Persuadable. Explain the approach you took this time, Donny, I suppose, in telling the story of people who believe in conspiracy theories.
Yeah. It's a limited podcast series, so it's only 3 episodes, Persuadable. And yeah, you know, I've been covering conspiracy theories, the sort of world of the divisiveness and polarization in the US for a long time now. And sort of frustratingly, I'd always have editors and people at work who would say, you know, I would be covering quite depressing things a lot of the times. And they'd say, well, what's the solution here? Can we throw something in at the end of the story to make it less depressing? I don't think it's really our job as journalists to necessarily come up with solutions. But with this, I wanted to take a humble stab at trying to come up at least with a small solution, which is at least within families. So many families in the US, but also here in Ireland, people are coming to the kitchen table every night with sort of increasingly bizarre and sometimes extreme ideas and talking points that they're finding online, and then they're overcome by them, and it sort of characterizes their whole life. Mm. And so, what do you do with a person like that when you have a loved one? Because, you know, a lot of times you want to tell them, oh, you're stupid. What are you saying? Mm. Why do you stop talking? But we've learned from speaking to people both who've been down these rabbit holes, but people who've also been in cults going back decades, is that, you know, if you have family If you have somebody in your family who's telling you you're stupid, you might risk only kind of pushing them away further and then further down that rabbit hole. So we tried to, in these three episodes, come up with, well, what can you do if you do have somebody in your life? And we've talked through that.
And you've met some fascinating people who we'll speak about now. But what kind of conspiracy theories are you talking about in the podcast? I mean, what do people believe?
It's a mix of everything. It goes from, you know, obviously in the United States, there are a lot of conspiracy theories about the 2020 election still, which, of course, is still being pushed by President Trump. But then, of course, I mean, COVID, everything else and vaccines, all that sort of stuff. You know, what we tried to look at here was that, you know, in some ways, I think we can all get a bit distracted by the craziness, for lack of a better word, of some of these beliefs, right? I mean, you mentioned I spent some time with a group in Dallas who were essentially a cult, who had believed not only that JFK Jr., but that JFK himself was some way going to come back, was going to reincarnate. And so I think in some ways we can get distracted by just how crazy the beliefs are and forget about the people who believe them. And, you know, if you sort of just laugh at people and say, oh, they're a lost cause, well, then they're going to remain a lost cause. So in the podcast, we tried to get people to unlock their own empathy. And that could be a very difficult thing, especially when you have, you know, again, dealing with these sort of crazy beliefs. And for me, you know, I started to think, well, we all have superstitions. We all believe something crazy or have at some point in our lives or have had false belief or irrational thoughts. In my case, it's mental health. It's beliefs I have about myself when I'm in a sort of pit of depression or anxiety, which I spoke about a bit before. But, you know, I've been kind of struggling with that on and off 15 years now. And I've been in places in my mind where, you know, you're just not thinking straight. And a lot of it is motivated by fear or something has gone wrong in your life and things aren't working out. And then you are trying, you know, as the mind tries to get control of things, you're going down this sort of rabbit hole in your own mind. And I think that's what a lot of people I meet who are really into these wild conspiracy theories, it's a release for them. It's their way of coping.
And actually, that's what I think really makes the series very strong, because you do explore your own vulnerabilities in the series too. I mean, what you've experienced yourself and how you've dealt with it. Did you make a deliberate decision to do that? And was it hard to do that? Or did you just decide, if I'm going to make this series, I'm just going to be honest?
It was one of those things that, for years of going around the US, getting to travel the US and talking to a lot of people, to what Brendan was saying earlier, I think, you know, the great majority of people are inherently kind, good people, right? And there would be people I would meet sort of, you know, from both sides of the political equation. And, you know, they'd be great. And you'd have chats with them and they have families and they run businesses and they're productive members of society. And then there's one thing. It can be vaccines, it can be election, it can be Trump, it can be whatever. And you just sort of see that click, right? And that's where they go off. The sort of deep end into irrationality. And over time, I started to sort of kind of recognize that. I was like, that I've experienced that click, that sort of second where you just things change. And that for me was sort of the reckoning with my own mental health. It's sort of the podcast came about over the course of a few years of figuring that out. And, you know, I'm not in any way trying to say that everybody who believes in sort of conspiracy theories have mental illness, because that's not the case, or any mental health difficulties. Mm. And you don't need to have that to engage in this sort of thinking. I merely bring up mental health because of my own experience. It was my way to sort of unlock empathy. And in the podcast, we kind of explore to say, well, look, try to put yourself in your loved one or your friend's shoes, to say what's going on, and look, really, what we found in a lot of these groups is people are either looking for meaning, they're looking for community, they want to be part of something. You know, I think we underestimate sometimes how good it feels. It's good to be in a cult for a while, at least. You know, like, it's good to join a group like that, because you have, all of a sudden, you have community and meaning, and you have all these important reasons to be around, and you believe in something. Of course, oftentimes, then it goes off the...
Or grows off the deep end.
Yeah.
Also, in the third episode, you play a very raw clip. I think you've saved a folder in your phone that's in it. What is happening in that clip, and why did you decide to share it?
Yeah. It's from 3 or 4 years ago, and I was sort of in a fairly bad place. I think it was maybe 2022 or so, but just went through a sort of 5 or 6 months of just sort of depression and things like that. And I don't know, I for some reason one day I took a brief sort of selfie video of myself on just crying, which is sort of a weird thing to do. But the reason I did it was that I wanted to have it to sort of to show myself in the future that you know, I've been there and I'll come back out of it, because I do always come back out of it. I had forgotten about it. And it was really, you know, we kind of spent 6 months making this podcast, but it was only in the last week that I plucked up the courage to tell my producers about it, and we put it in. I actually haven't watched or listened back to it at all since, because it's quite difficult, but it's essentially just me sobbing. It's quite, quite sad. But I just eventually thought, we ask a lot of people as journalists to open up. And, you know, obviously, journalism is changing, and how people connect with stories are changing. So there would be a time where, you know, you wouldn't probably put yourself into the story like that. But, you know, I thought it was helpful in this regard.
I thought it was incredibly helpful. And I think it will mean a lot to so many people as well that you do that. Because, like, here you are now. And you're great and you're perfect. Do you think, I was wondering, you know, you live away from your home, which is, I know you've got great friends there now, but do you think things get worse sometimes because you don't have your family, all that support network that know you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm, as you say, I'm very lucky. I have great friends and a community in New York. Obviously, that takes a while. I've been there almost 10 years now. Yes and no. I mean, obviously, having community and family and the people you love the most near you is huge. But I mean, you know, I know people, and I've been in sort of, you know, when you get to that place in your mentally, you can still be surrounded by the people you love, and you feel most alone in the world, you know? So,
true.
I think it doesn't necessarily help matters when you're away. But I think it really is that sort of reckoning with yourself, I guess, and trying to, you know, ultimately at the end of the day, you have to be happy in yourself, don't you?
100%. For sure, as they say in America.
For sure.
My favourite saying.
I haven't dropped any Americanisms yet,
no.
Have I, Doug?
But I think one of the other aspects that's really interesting is how the friends, the partners, the families of people who are going down, who have gone down the rabbit holes, do react and should react. You looked into this, and I think there'll be people listening this morning who wonder what they should do if someone starts sharing stuff they've read online and you just don't agree. I mean, what can you do if someone you love has gone down a huge rabbit hole?
Yeah, it's so tough. And I mean, that's why for a documentary a few years ago, we did focus on this group who had gathered in Dallas at the Grassy Knoll where JFK was assassinated back in 1963. And this group slowly, you know, the dozens eventually, who had left their families to spend long spells in Dallas under this sort of cult leader, basically, believing that JFK would come back. And so that belief system, rightly, was laughed at and became sort of the butt of late night comedy show jokes in America. But the reason I was interested to it was because, like, well, all of those people have families. All the people who are standing there have families, have people who love them, surely. And we tracked a few of them down. And they said, yeah, I mean, they said, you know, if you have a loved one who's going through alcoholism or drugs or whatever else, that there's a 12-step program there. There's at least, it's not easy, but at least there's somewhere, but like I was talking, people say, well, my brother believes that JFK is still alive. Who am I going to talk to about that? And where do I get that help? That is sort of what's forming in the US now. And Diane Ben-Scotter, who used to be in a group of, a cult-like group in the US decades ago, is now helping a lot of families. She's in the podcast. She's helping families with support groups and things like that of how do you help a loved one.
And it's so funny, Donny, loads of texts for you and Brendan, but June from Kildare just texted in to say, hi, Donny, as an American who lives here, I have to say these conspiracy theories have torn my family apart. My eldest sister has gone so deep down the rabbit hole that I don't believe she'll ever be retrievable. My only brother and his wife are much the same. Only my younger sister is on my side. It's deeply traumatic to have such a chasm between siblings. Yeah. So it's amazing how terrible
it's
it is.
So many families and, you know, people try and cope with it. People try and cope with it of just agreeing not to talk about politics or whatever it is at the kitchen table, Christmas, Thanksgiving table, whatever. But that's easier said than done. To that listener, obviously, you know, it's an incredibly difficult and tough thing. And the truth is, you know, you're not probably, you might never be able to change their minds. But it's trying to about how to figure out to unlock their humanity and yours and at least try to keep some sort of connection and that's where the empathy comes in, I guess. But it's really, really, really tough.
It's great advice. Actually, one of your teachers has just texted in. It's why I love live radio, Donny. As a former teacher, when Donny was a bubbling young lad and skull wearing Cara Sivine, I followed Donny's career like everyone in South Kerry with pride and awe. Lanart Donny, that's from Sean O'Hargan, Kilkenny and Waterford, which is so lovely, isn't it? Another Catherine says, two brilliant, genuine guests on this morning. We're great to hear gentlemen talk about their life, family and emotions. Honestly, Donny and Brendan are the voices we need. Another says, I saw Donny reporting from outside prison when President Trump released the January the 6th rioters. It was scary. Many more saying Brendan Lees is for Uachtaráin on the Héireann.
There you go. I'd support that.
Yeah, definitely. And interesting, you know, you spoke to another couple in California and their story was quite different. They found a way to keep the communication lines open, didn't they? Different to the text there that we just read.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple, they were on their way to being married and you know, the fiance, the bride to be, sort of went off the deep end. And look, I mean, the husband did in that case was really try to radical empathy, right? And really keep his mind open, and actually said, well, do you know what? Start bringing me these things you're reading online, and let's actually talk through them together, and let's research these things together about all these sort of claims about cabals and everything else, and slowly. Over time, they were able to get to a place where, you know, there was that sort of mutual respect there. And he very much said, look, I'm not going to tell you you're 100% wrong because you're not. Because you know, in every conspiracy theory, there is this kernel of truth. But look, don't attack me because I don't believe all the things you believe. And they've been able to work through that. But yeah, I mean, unfortunately, over the sort of years I've been doing this, that's one of the exceptions rather than the rule, you know, that case.
I saw a lovely post yesterday of you and your dad in Croke Park.
Yes. My dad's been going to Croke Park for, God, 60 years, probably. He's 72 now. His first ever hurling game. So that's how much of a Kerry man he is. And yes, he insisted on wearing the Kerry jersey to the Dublin Cork game yesterday. So we had a good day.
Of course, you missed the Kerry Armagh match, but still Kerry for Sam, do you think? Do you watch it in New York?
With friends. Yeah, and was home in Cara Sivine over the weekend and bumped into Jack O'Connor, the Kerry manager, who was also briefly a teacher of mine at Clonmacnoise Gaeilge. So there you go, that's Ireland. But yeah, so we follow it all the time. Would love to get back for the final, but we'll see. We'll see. We have to get there first, as I say. That's the Kerry confidence coming true.
Do you think we've lost you to America forever, Donny?
I mean,
we
like
all, as your teacher, say, yeah, absolutely, come home.
We'll see. Never say never. You never know.
Yeah. But you're loving it.
I do.
And you're
acing
it.
Despite, you know, all the craziness, it's still a great country. It's a good place to live for, fortunately for me at the moment, not everybody can say the same, but yeah, I still love it. And you know, a great place to be a journalist and to get to the, you know, to have the privilege of traveling the country and talking to people and doing what I always wanted to do. It's amazing.
Well, you're acing it and keep doing it, Donny. I'll bring you lots of texts about yourself and Brendan. One says, your work becomes extraordinary because you work with extraordinary people, as Brendan says. A brilliant and inspiring remark from Brendan. Great guest today. Food for thought when stuck in a rut. And once more, about Brother Kevin Crowley. Brother Kevin loved hurling and would have loved that Cork won their match in Croke Park yesterday, despite him also loving the Dubs. Donny, as ever, thanks so much for coming.
Thank you, Miriam.
Senior correspondent with CNN. The podcast is called Persuadable. You'll find it on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Mind yourself, Donny. See you next time round.